Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 7 through 9, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Special Fellowship.
The brothers asked that I could share something briefly before we begin our testimonies. I'm happy to do that. though I may be a little older, not much older than you all, I'm still young at heart, right? Even though I have a married daughter here, her and her husband are both here. I have another daughter that finished college and that is serving. Then I have two sons who are in college. And my wife is also sitting in the back. And so we're happy that we could be here. I'm so glad. I was just telling some of the brothers 20 years ago, we were very much involved in sharing with the college students. And I'm so glad that I'm not doing that still for the long run, because the Lord's interest and the Lord's recovery is very much going on. It is not just involved with men who are going to be here forever. The Lord must do something with this generation. By the way, my name is Dennis Higashi. My wife is Janine. She's sitting in the back. She's the prettiest sister in the room. A word to the married brothers. Take care of your wives. Okay. I believe, brothers and sisters, that the fellowship that we've had this weekend, though I've only been able to make it to a couple of the sessions, the fellowship that we've had this weekend, I believe, is very much on the Lord's heart, because it shows us our place in the universe, that we are not here coincidentally, and that we are not here just by accident, that you were not just born in this generation because there was nothing else to do. Everything has been arranged and planned by God. Even your time of birth and your status as a student is arranged by God. For what purpose? And I believe to have conferences like this opens up our eyes to see that we are here because there is a meaning in the universe. Not only is there a meaning in the universe, there is a meaning for man. And we saw that as we progressed through. Not only is there a meaning of the universe, but my meaning as a man is to be a believer. Amen. And if I'm going to be a believer, I'm going to be in the church life. This is the place that the Lord can do something for His move. He has a heart's desire, but He also has a move. Don't think that we have an uninterested, far away, though benevolent God that is just observing humanity. He is very much involved in His move. From eternity, He has been moving. He has a specific purpose, and He will not stop until that purpose is fulfilled. Amen. And so we are all involved, right, in that purpose. We shouldn't consider that anything that is happening on the earth today is just accidental. It is arranged by God that things could take place in a good way. Not too long ago, I just returned from India. I was in New Delhi. They began a full-time training there, and there's 28 trainees. I haven't even got to share with the trainees yet, which I will tomorrow night. But it's so good to contact some young people just like your age who had Hindu backgrounds and who have come to know the Lord. Though they have paid a severe price to be a believer, yet they are there, and not only have they finished university education, some are attorneys there, some are others who have worked for a little bit, but they are there just to be 2 years to soak in the Word of God. It was very good to be with them. Coming to this weekend, to this point, I believe when we come up to the mountains like this, we get to see something of Christ, that there is something more than just our little universe. The Lord wants to do something on the earth, And you are so key in the Lord's move.
Amen.
How? Just by being a student. Just by sitting next to somebody. I think the brothers told you, as we were all in college, also a number of years ago. Let's see, how long was it ago? I started college in 1972. How many years ago was that? 29 years. Almost 30 years. I got saved just before I got saved, but I'm still young. I'm younger than you are. Because my spirit is burning.
Amen.
I have a fire within my heart.
Amen.
That God put there when I was a young person. And it has not extinguished.
Amen.
And my goal in life is to put all of you on fire.
Amen.
Not to have you just be a normal person. I want you to be a person that is in love with the Lord and that also speaks. I got saved right before I got into college. My first semester of college. Of course, I didn't know I was heading to college. The Vietnam War was still going on. Actually, I should have been there. My father, my uncles, all involved in the wars. I didn't have a choice. My name was already there in the Los Angeles Times. I was drafted. But even before I was drafted, I enlisted. At a certain point of time, the Lord called me. And I knew I could not go into the military. I got saved in the Lord's recovery. And the Lord called me. I had to enlist into the Lord's army.
Amen.
The Lord has a purpose. It was very clear, so I went to college. Almost my first semester, I was sitting in the class. I didn't know. I didn't know the Bible. I had never read the Bible. I'd never seen the Bible. We didn't even have a Bible in our house. This is how ignorant I was. But I knew I touched God. And so that very first class, that first semester, I remember praying for that person sitting next to me in the seat. I got there early. I just prayed for that person. I didn't know what to say. I said whatever I heard in the meeting. And what I heard in the meeting was the divine romance.
Wow.
I'm a romanticist at heart. I just spoke that to that person. I don't know what happened, but I felt I didn't even hear the lecture because I was so excited. The Lord is flowing out. Okay, don't do that. You have to hear the lecture, right? Anyway, all I can say is that it is so good to be with the brothers and sisters, to take Christ in and flow Christ out. You are the right ones at the right time and the right age that Christ could flow out of you.
Amen.
Don't spiritualize things and say you have to wait to become all mature, all knowing, all learning. By that time, you're going to be in the grave. Forget what you have now, what your enjoyment of Christ, you just speak. So I would challenge you. I would challenge every college student here. Tomorrow, if you have your first class, sometime tomorrow, speak something to somebody of your enjoyment. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you wait, it's going to be next conference again. Speak tomorrow.
Amen.
Now, not only speak tomorrow, but be accountable to somebody. So if Daniel and I are students on the campus, we are accountable. Daniel, I'm going to speak to somebody. You speak to somebody. Sometimes it's good. How about we speak together?
Right.
Maybe meet me after class. I'm chicken. I can't speak. But how about you speak? As you speak, I join. And we speak together.
Amen.
Be accountable. Don't be accountable to the angels. They're not going to bother you. Be accountable to somebody face to face. And speak something of your enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
Why not? Everybody speaks about all kinds of things today. And they're not ashamed of it. Why should we be ashamed?
Right.
We've enjoyed Christ. And actually, this is what they want.
Amen.
So we should just speak something to them. Don't be embarrassed.
Right.
Especially if you have another brother or another sister. Speak something. Don't wait. It's better to do it in your first class.
Amen.
Don't think that it's accidental that the students in your class are sitting there just by coincidence. Do you think that's coincidental? out of all the people on the earth, all of a sudden, these ones are in your class, they're sitting next to you. You never know. They may be chosen by the Lord. Your function may only be sowing something. Maybe a year later, somebody will reap something.
Right.
Or your function may be that they're ready to be reaped because somebody sowed something in them already.
Right.
You just don't know. But we want to give the Lord the ground. Because why? When we speak, this is our discipling to all the nations.
Amen.
I want to remind you that the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Never, never forget the Lord is with you. You may not feel that good, but the Lord will not leave you. And as soon as you start to speak something of Christ, you will see how much the Lord is with you. So I would encourage you tomorrow. Who would do that? Raise your hand. Who would do that? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Okay. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Don't be a chicken. If you don't have class tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll give you 2 days. You have 48 hours. A lot of things can happen in 48 hours. Look, 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 look. Keep your hands high because I want the Lord to see it. Okay, very good. The Lord looks at all your hands. That means, brothers and sisters, be accountable. Even if you don't have somebody on your campus, call someone. Be accountable. So within the next 2 days, speak to somebody. Even if you're not that bold, you can say, how about we read this together? Go, therefore, and disciple all. That's okay. You're speaking something. And it may be that after you read something to your friend, you may say something. You know, mainly speak.
Amen.
Your speaking is your discipling. October 14th, which was a little less than a month ago, let me just tell you an experience. Some of you have heard this already. But because the stories have gone around, we just want to make verify and clarify things. This is related to one of my sons. I have twin boys. One's in Fort Collins, Colorado, going to school, and the other's in Dunloring, Virginia, going to school. Well, when our son Tim decided to go to school there in Dunloring, initially, he's a sophomore there, when he was looking at universities, there were two brothers in particular there that were very close to him and that he highly regarded in the Lord. And so he wanted to go there to be with him in the church life. They were both married brothers. One was a professor there already at the University of George Mason in Fairfax, Virginia there, just outside of Washington, D.C. So, but he finally made a decision, decided to go to school there. Lo and behold, before he got there, the two brothers migrated. And so, but he was still there. He just had some burden to go because he was following the Lord. And of course, as parents, we don't want to jeopardize or undermine our children when they're seeking the Lord. We like to give them the liberty to learn how to seek the Lord. So, of course, it's better to be in state, you know, obviously. But anyway, he did have some real feeling and leading. Very much prayer. He even prayed with my daughter. He prayed with us. He prayed with some other saints, and the Lord led him there. Well, when he was a senior in high school, he's quite an active person, those of you who know him. And he knows everybody. And so somebody came to me not too long ago and asked, are you Tim's dad? I was so happy because usually they ask him, are you Brother Dennis's son? Right? So I was glad they asked. It's good that they know my children and not me. Okay, so he went there, but he somewhat told me at one time, he says, Dad, you know, I don't know, but maybe one day I will get to meet the president. And he, in the city of Anaheim, he's done a lot with the city. He knows the mayor quite well. It's just the type of person he is. You know, I couldn't do that, you know. I forget about, to me, politicians are, don't let me go on that subject. Anyway, you know, I'm just not interested, you know. I'd rather not talk to them. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, but he's a different person. He's just a different person. So he had this feeling within, and he said, I just had the feeling that I have to go to school as close to Washington, D.C. as possible. And so I don't know if that was a good reason or not, but anyway, he's there. Well, in the first year of his university there, he got to meet the president of the university, you know, et cetera, and involved in a number of things related to the university. Beginning of October, he got an email. He's involved in a lot of societies there, things, but very much, I would say, all this is secondary, very much involved in the church life. And I think as Charles was sharing this morning, he's not an individual, but very much built into the church life in the brother's house there. And I would say enjoying the Lord. Well, he got an email all of a sudden, beginning of October, from the office of the president, President Obama, inviting him to come to participate in an interview for a town hall meeting with President Obama and college students. And so he responded, sure, I'll go. You know, it was completely surprising because he didn't initiate this at all. He just got this email. And to this day, we don't know how he got the email. I think it came from the heavens. So he received it, and then he responded. Then he went through two interviews. And, of course, the first interview, he had to go to D.C. for this. The first interview, they asked him what his political slant was. And he says, I am a diehard Orange County Republican. Orange, not just Republican, but Orange County Republican. Okay, anyway, forget about that. That's what he said. So he didn't think he was going to get selected. Then he went for a second interview, and then eventually he got a note that he was selected to go participate. They had, I think, 900 or 1,000 college students that they interviewed, and there were 150 to 200 that were selected, so he was selected. Well, he really didn't know if he was going to go or not because the day of the town hall meeting, he had two midterms, and so he had to rearrange things, and he was talking to my wife even the day before. He just wasn't so sure. He just wasn't so sure. We just encouraged him. We just encouraged him. You just have to contact the Lord and follow the Lord. And, of course, in a town hall meeting, you can ask anything you want to. And so the president was telling, the president of the university was telling him to ask him this. This economics professor was telling him to ask him this. Dear old dad was telling him to tell him about this. We were all, you know. And so, so he just, you know, he listened to that and he just, you know, I formulated something because they asked him at the interview, what would you ask the president? So he formulated something he was going to ask the president. He got there. The midterms were taken care of. Even he had to come to the campus early to do the midterms, and he was up most of the night studying, so he really didn't know if he was going to go. He was quite tired. Anyway, the Lord just, he just had a feeling to cooperate with the Lord, just to go. When we got there, he got his seat assignment. His seat assignment was row one, seat one, which was right on the stage. And it was hosted by MTV. And, you know, you've seen some of those before where the president just opened. It's college students, and anybody can ask anything. They have some moderators there, and they pass the microphone around, and it's a one-hour program. When he got row one, seat one, right on the stage, the Lord, he realized the Lord has something. The Lord has something. Of course, he wanted to bring a New Testament recovery version in, but they wouldn't let him, right, because they... You couldn't take anything in. And so he ended up there, and as he was sitting there, the Lord just began to work with him. What can I say if I get the opportunity? What can I say? Well, he didn't get the opportunity to ask the president a question, but the first break, commercial break, because it was all recorded, the first commercial break, he was there, and because the president was right next to him, he jumped up and he introduced himself. And so he went up and he talked to the president. He asked him, the president asked him, what about this? What are your plans? What are your career? Where are you going to school? It turns out that President Obama has a little bit of inkling and affinity with George Mason University because that's where he announced his presidency. And so he likes George Mason students. And so I think they hit it off and they talked for about a minute. And so, the president was talking to him and then he turned, was beginning to talk to another student. Behind him were a few students, so they heard the conversation. And this is all Tim relating the things that happened. And so when the president was turning to another student, Tim At that point in time, the Lord urged him. He said, Mr. President, I have something to say to you. And the president turned, what is it, son? He said, what is it, son? And he looked at him. And he said, and then the president went on to speak something else. He was speaking another sentence. And Tim just held up his hand to stop the president in the middle of his sentence. Afterwards, he said, what did I do? Well, something was emboldening him. So he just stopped. He said, Mr. President, Jesus is Lord. Amen. The president stopped and he looked at him intently. It was just, Tim said, at that point in time, there were two people in the room. And he said, he just had the feeling that the whole, his guard was let down. He wasn't looking at the president. He was looking at a human being that needed God. The president was just looking at his eyes intently. Then he put his hand on Tim's shoulder and he says, that's right. That's right. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. And of course, some of the students heard behind, because Tim told us that when he said Jesus is Lord, he was going to make sure the president heard it directly. He was not going to mince. He was not going to say something quietly. He just wanted to say something so the president could hear. He felt like he was just looking at a human being when they were looking at one another. And then he sat down and the town hall meeting continued. At the end, when the town hall meeting was over, of course, the TV was off. There was no more TV things there. The president was walking off and he was waving. He was, you know, waving to the students, goodbye, goodbye. And he was walking. And then he was walking across the stage and he saw Tim across the stage. And he turned around and he went back to Tim. And he shook his hand and he said, thank you, thank you. Well, what happened? We don't know what happened. But one of the brothers, as I was relating to this, relating the story to him, Brother Ed, said that what Tim did and what Tim said is one of the best services that he could do to our country. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is for everybody.
Amen.
After President Obama came and shook his hand again, the two executive producers came up to Tim and said, we noticed that during the commercial break, first commercial break, you and President Obama were involved in a very close conversation. And then again, he came and he talked to you. He says, what did you talk about? And they had the camera and they had, you know, I think they had, you know. He said, I just told him Jesus is Lord. They said, oh. You know, the story of Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer of the king, Artaxerxes at that time, who had the entire earth under his rule, he was also aggressive and bold to speak something because he had a heart for God and for God's people and God's interests on the earth. Brothers and sisters, the reason why I'm relating the story to, I was a little hesitant to do this because number one, it's my son. If it was somebody else, I would be more than happy to say it. But because it's personal, I just hesitated. Because we don't want anybody to be glorified. I just want to encourage you that we can speak, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I haven't even told my wife this, but in 1981, exactly 30 years ago, is it 30 years ago, 81? 1981, I had met President Reagan when he was president at that time. And I had that feeling, I had a strong feeling to speak something to the president. I just had the feeling, but I was a nobody. You know, I was working, but I just didn't feel like, you know, I mean, so I hesitated. And after I hesitated, the time passed, et cetera, et cetera. He flew off in a helicopter, never to be seen again. I was just reflecting on this, and I thank the Lord that I was unfaithful, but a young brother was faithful to say something. We don't know what this will do. We're not having any great expectations. But brothers and sisters, the gospel, the high gospel, everybody needs the high gospel. Amen. From the kings all the way down to our fellow students. Amen. We shouldn't believe that someone is above the high gospel. No, everyone is qualified to hear the high gospel. As the saints have been hearing this and speaking, and the reason why I say this and the reason why I'm telling you this is because we want to present an accurate picture. Some of the things that have been related to us are not so accurate, so I want to make things accurate. Then on the way, he was taking the bus or the subway home. I can't remember. Honey, what was it? Did he say he was taking the bus home or something? He was coming back home. He called my wife, and he just was wondering, what did he do? What did he do? But he told my wife one statement. He said, Mom, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm just not ashamed. The girl sitting next to him was an African-American freshman girl from University of Maryland. She heard the conversation. At a certain point of time, after the town hall meeting, she turned to Tim and she said, I want what you have. I saw your faith. She said something, I'm not a Christian, but I want what you have. I want it. I want it. How can I get it? And Tim was asking, do you want to be saved? Anyway, so he connected her with some of the brothers and sisters at the University of Maryland. But this just shows, brothers and sisters, that we have to speak. Amen. We shouldn't be afraid to speak. Amen. Right? Don't think. The Lord gives us the opportunities. Don't think. From the president down. To me, it doesn't matter. If it's the president, if it's a freshman in college, they're both the same. They both are people who need God.
Amen.
Everyone needs God, and everyone is hungry for God. And brothers and sisters, now is the right time. I can tell you the truth. There's a few of us who are a little older in this room. I can tell you the truth that in the 60s and in the early 70s, we had the same feeling that society is ready. We were all seeking something. We all got distracted from the things. But there is a certain hunger that is in the atmosphere today that is we have not seen in so many years.
Amen.
And you have the right opportunity now,
amen,
right? Do not be afraid to speak something of Christ.
Amen.
When you speak, the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
The Lord will be with you. He will speak in your speaking.
Amen.
If you don't know something, you find somebody who does, and you can work together. But you should be afraid. Don't think that the brothers who shared in the conference this weekend, if they go to the conference, if they go to the campus, when they go to the campus, not many students will receive them. They're just like old men. You know, what class do you teach? You know, we need them there because they become the pillars. Actually, they're like the invisible walls that are holding up something of God's testimony. But the blessing and the reaching out is really with you.
Amen.
You're the best ones to speak.
Amen.
Don't wait till you become a trainee. Forget about that to speak. No, the trainees can tell you today they wish they would have spoken more in college.
Right.
Speak now. Take the opportunity. Especially if you're a freshman, you're a sophomore. Speak. You will learn by speaking. And you will see, wow, the Lord is so rich to me.
Amen.
Not only because I take him in, but also because I flow him out.
Amen.
We have to pray. Anyway, the final word I want to say to you is that because some of the saints have heard, we've heard this, my wife and I have both heard this a few times, that instead of, because of the brothers and sisters have told us, and this is my reaction, as soon as my son Tim told me the story, when I got off the phone, I began to pray for this country.
Amen.
I began to pray for the president.
Amen.
I didn't vote for him. But I'm praying for him.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not the person, but it's the office.
Right.
We have to take care. The Bible tells us we have to pray for those in high positions.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, we have to pray. We have to pray for this country.
That
the Lord would gain his seekers in this country before he returns. I hope that he would return in my lifetime. I don't know. I really don't know. We're already in our mid-50s. I don't know. But I hope that if he doesn't return during my time, he would return during your time. But you have to cooperate with the Lord just by speaking, right? And speaking with the Lord and speaking to your friends, okay? I believe the Lord will remember the hands that went up this morning, right?
Amen.
Don't be afraid, brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid. If people can speak about all kinds of evil things today, what about us? We surely can say something about our enjoyment of the Lord. And you never know today who will respond, okay? We're not looking for the response, but we are just cooperating with the Lord to speak, okay? Amen.